Listen to the good vibrations. Do you hear the crazy game? Do you smell the scent of glory? Do you feel the hug of fame?
Good morning and welcome to episode 52 of Taking the Charge podcast with you. As always, from Hine News, I'm David Hine, and my cohort, as usual.
Yes, for the 52nd consecutive time, this is Oz Davis from BallinEurope.com coming to you live from rainy Budapest, Hungary.
Yes, and I am from...
where we're still alive for World Cup qualifiers, I just want to say. On another job, I'm writing up all the Hungarian football news, of which there's a lot these days. And so we're very excited about that. So much sports. I've been watching so much sports. It's unbelievable. Between the Eurobasket tournament, the NFL season kicking off, and the Hungarian qualifying games. This is a good season for sports.
Yeah, you guys had a tragedy, though, with the bus crash.
Yes.
Horrible.
This bus accident on the weekend, wow, apparently caused a 69-year-old man has been arrested. Apparently he was driving in the wrong lane. The bus swerved off the road carrying the Győr women's basketball team.
EuroLeague women team, right?
Yeah. They're also in EuroLeague. They were playing a friendly game against the name of the other Hungarian team escapes me. And the bus went off the road. Two people were killed. Two coaches.
Well, I think killed. The general manager and the head coach, right?
Yeah.
One of their star young players, Kosovic, a young Serbian, had her leg amputated.
Yes, the former national team player, in fact. Whose career is effectively over, and in fact, must find a new way in life because her leg was amputated almost immediately upon arriving to the hospital after that accident. A couple of the other national team players were actually in the Hungarian hospital, but as I understand it, they've been discharged at this point. A really depressing story. It really, really captured the headlines here in Hungary, that's for sure.
Yeah. We don't want to talk too much about it. I mean, it's obviously a horrible tragedy. And they had a minute of silence at all of the games here.
Yes.
Here I am at Eurobasket in Slovenia. I've moved to Ljubljana, spent the first round in Koper. They had a minute of silence. I think it was the fourth game days. So obviously we're going to talk Eurobasket mainly. We're going to bring up some World Cup stuff. It's early here but it's in the morning in Slovenia, and I wanted to get something off my chest that just bugs me about hotels. I don't know how much traveling Oz that you are able to do, and how much the hotels that you stay in. But when I'm at these tournaments, I usually stay with I work with the organizers, and they do put you up in kind of posh places. One of the things that I just do not understand at all about sort of these trendy bathrooms are the walls, the glass walls for showers, and how they're like half walls. And the one in this hotel has it's a bathtub with the shower in it. And so it's a third of the bathtub. So first of all, you have to think, okay, you have to sort of protect it from going on the floor. And then this makes all the sense in the world. On the connection of the glass to the actual wall, right? There's a slit. And I didn't realize it when I was showering, and so the bathroom was more or less full of water. It's like, come on, people. I mean, who designs these things?
That's your rant. You told me before the show that you were going to do a rant, and I was expecting something on, like naturalized players in the tournament.
Yeah. That's not, you know what? And actually, and I kind of have to pull back on a rant that I, not necessarily pull back, but give it a second thought on a, on another thing that we've been killing in the past. And I guess let's move to that really quick. I mean, we're obviously we're in the second round, and I've for a long time I've blasted the second round of this tournament because it just makes this thing enormously long. And I've always sort of said, you know, go ahead and make it, you know, go to a knockout, you know, for top four from the first round, and then make it round of 16. But then, I was in Copair, I was in Group D, you know, covering the Italy, Greece, Finland, Turkey, Russia, Sweden group, and then I came to Ljubljana and realized that, you know, we're going to watch nine, like I'm going to have the chance now to watch nine new teams for three games. And that's, and so you wouldn't have that chance if it went straight to knockout. So from an understanding of the basketball development and culture in these countries, it does make it better because you're able to, you know, sort of, you know, see how these countries are come along. Like if Latvia, you know, so Latvia, where they finished third in their group. So if they would have gone across and faced, let me look here, but, you know, like they would face just one game and then they'd be going home. You wouldn't necessarily see them at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So Latvia finished.
And Latvia's been worth seeing. I've been watching Latvia in this tournament.
Yeah, you've watched more Latvia than I have.
Yeah.
So Latvia finished second. You know, if it was four teams, they'd play Belgium in the next round. You know, okay, they would, you know, maybe beat Belgium, but you know, now it's the second group, and I just wish it wasn't so long. I don't know, there's, you know, maybe I'll have to come back and figure out a way to cut it from a lengthwise in a different way.
Well, it's interesting that
but just really quick to finish the thought, I'm almost thinking that I might like the second round just because it's almost like another mini tournament, and does give you a chance to see these other teams that you hadn't seen yet.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, and here's what's interesting. I'm surprised that they didn't go to a tournament format for this round this year, and here's why. So as we've seen recently, many of the domestic leagues, including, you know, ones that used to play mammoth tournaments like France, have scaled back these tournaments. They've been playing fewer games in these tournaments. And you know, this is attributed to, quote unquote, the current economic crisis. And I'm just surprised that, you know, I've seen some of these games. I've seen some of these games, and not everybody is bringing, you know, a Lithuanian fan base. Not everybody is bringing a Serbian fan base. You know, and so a lot of these games are not selling out, shall we charitably say. And I can't imagine that money is being made by the organizers here. And so I'm really surprised that at least this year they didn't go to the tournament format.
Yeah, it's I don't think they're going to I think they're going to probably wait to make any big changes like this again until they see what's going to happen with the next tournament. You know, FIBA Europe's sort of like in like mini crisis mode. They don't know what's going to happen to them as an entity. You know, now with this increased world FIBA presence and, you know, FIBA sort of push to be more important. You know, you have the Eurobasket every 4 years and everything like that. So I don't think they're going to make any. I think the format as it is. You know, it's not going to change. I mean, everybody says it's long, but I just don't see it changing right now. So, obviously, we've had some big time surprises, I don't know. I mean, the only thing that I can really speak too much about was Group D, where Turkey and Russia were crashed out, and then Greece lost the last two games to Italy and Finland, and Italy obviously played out of their minds to finish top of that group.
Italy and Finland.
Well, Italy, yeah.
Back by Finland some more. I'm not getting off that horse, even after that very disappointing loss that I watched to Italy.
Italy's a buzzsaw, man, and I think that
they sure are.
I wonder. First of all, they had absolutely amazing crowd support. I mean, they were like what 10 kilometers max from Italy. Uh-huh. Down there on the seaside. So, you know, there was about probably 4,000 Italians at their games. I probably remember more like maybe 3,200 somewhere, you know, but a good 3,000 plus.
Maybe the best performance of the national anthem by a crowd in this tournament.
Every time I see it, it's amazing. And then
they did very well. Yeah.
And they're clapping at during the national anthem.
They love it. It's a great song.
It's great. But yeah, you know, obviously they're missing a lot of guys. You know, Gallinari, Bargnani, you know, Mancelli, the captain's not playing. Hackett's not there. Gigli is not playing as well. So, you know, there's a lot missing there. And but you know, the rest of the group is just so tight knit that it's, you know, they're just like, we don't care who gets what points, and who gets, you know, who gets the rebound. You know, they just are such a group right now and such a unit. And Bellinelli is playing really, really well. You know, he's totally taken over the leadership of the team. Dotome is playing awesome.
Now, where did this come from, Dave? Did they just flip the switch? Because going into this thing, they were looking, you know, shattered by injuries, as well as, you know, basically disorganized. They couldn't find a consistent rotation.
I think they started, you know, they beat Russia, and, you know, Russia, you know, came into, you know, the tournaments, you know, still with 8 Olympians, you know, 8 bronze medalists. So they beat them, you know, but Russia just wasn't that good of a team here. So, you know, you beat them, you have more confidence, and then they got lucky and faced a crap Turkish team. Not on paper, but just as we know from
That chemistry just wasn't there.
So you win those two games. And then what you also had was you had guys that were making their debut, like Gentile, like Melli, who were showing that they could play at this level, and through that gaining the confidence, especially a guy like Gentile, who is just, I mean, he just oozes swagger, you know. And I think the more confidence he gets, the better he gets, you know.
Was that a segue? Is that a segue?
It doesn't have to be, but we could.
Sure. Let's put that in there, because I'm glad you brought that up about swagger. We're going to present an interview that Dave did with Mr. Gentile of Team Italy.
Alessandro Gentile.
I'm going to throw in sort of a mini spoiler here. I like how he got kind of attitudinal and aggro about naturalized players, from out of nowhere. So yeah, play up the interview.
Okay, so here's Alessandro.
Congratulations. What's this mean for you guys?
I mean, this means that we advanced to the second round. This was our first goal, and we achieved this goal. Now we take rest and we think about tomorrow, just like we did until now.
What does this say about Italian basketball, that you guys were able to pull this one out?
This is a clear message for Italian basketball. And too often in Italy, they prefer taking players from outside Italy and let them play instead of letting Italian players play. So this is a big message for all the movement in Italian basketball.
You guys have some pretty big ambitions, just in general. What do you want to do now? I mean, you're in the second round. What do you want to do now?
I don't know. As I said yesterday, we want to think game by game. This is our goal, and tomorrow we will think about another tough game, and then from then on we'll think about second round without getting too much excited, without thinking too much further.
You guys are in the second round now. If you do reach the quarterfinals, there is still a chance for sure. Then for the World Cup, how much is the World Cup a goal for you guys? At least to do that for next season.
Of course, it would be a really, really good, great goal to achieve. And this is one of our goals, and we keep on working just for that.
When you were invited into the camp, what was your thoughts about making this team?
I mean, we are missing a lot of players, and my first goal was just to make the team, you know, and now we have a lot of players that are not here, and other players have a chance to play, and they're proving that they can play as well as the other guys are doing.
What did you think when you made the team?
I was really happy, you know. It's just a big honor for me to play for my national team.
You really quick to the club level. You're going to be the captain next year at Milano. What does that say as a 20-year-old for a EuroLeague team?
I don't know. I will think about that when we finish this experience here. Now I'm focused on this experience. And then, of course, it's a big honor for me also to be captain of Milano, but we'll think about that when this finishes.
Yeah. If there were a medal, you have a medal already in your collection. How often do you think about that now?
I mean, winning something is special, and when you win with the national team, it's even more special. So, of course, it's a dream, but we have to keep our feet on the ground and keep on going with great hustle and with great humble, and this is what we have to do.
What does this team have to do to be successful?
I don't know exactly what we did in these four games. This is the way, playing tough every game and giving 100%. So this is our what we have to do from now to the end.
Just one last question. I want to ask about the EuroLeague. Final Four is in Milan. How much of a dream would that be?
That's a dream also. But, you know, life is beautiful, and you only live one time, and you live about dreams. So we just, you know, I love dreaming, and who knows? Maybe one day we will play that.
All right, good luck. Have fun.
Well, there he is from the surprise of the tournament. How do they look going forward, Dave? You saw a lot of team early. How do they look going forward? They're starting 2-0.
Yeah, right? they're starting 2-0, and so they definitely have an advantage in that regard. But you know, they're facing. Let me just look it up so I have the order, because that also sort of has an impact. They go. Wrong group. So they start with Slovenia. So they go Slovenia, Croatia, and then Spain.
Wow.
I think that's just that second group, you know.
Doesn't get any easier, huh?
I've been told that Italians are going to be coming up or over or down, wherever we are compared to, you know, Italy. So I sense that a crowd will come. They haven't played. They play Thursday night, so they wouldn't have played for 2.5 days. And they were at such a high level, and I just kind of wonder if they can get back up to that level. It's and rhythm. Everybody knew their role and perfected it, you know. Uh-huh. And I just wonder if. You know, they played two games, and then they had the day off. And I think that was good. You know, you get rested. Then you play 1, 2, 3 games, you know, and save for the last game, which they had already qualified, and they were playing, I want to say Sweden. So, you know, besides that game, you know, there was, you know, each win, this whole thing was, Sweden. Each win was just building up this mythos even more, you know. And so I just wonder if they're going to be able to get back up to that intensity level after 2.5 days. You're also moving, you know, we're in the capital now. And so I think that's going to be a hard thing. I'll say this. Okay, first of all, in one regard, I think it's good that they're going to play Slovenia, because the crowd's going to be absolutely phenomenal, because you have all the Slovenians, and then you'll have the Italians that come up to as well.
Yeah.
So they'll feed off the energy. And I'll say this. Even if they lose that game, all right, but if they play at the intensity that they had in the first round, they'll be fine. I think this team – is a medal contender. If they can play at the intensity that they played in that first round, I think they are a medal contender. They're young and they're inexperienced. But you know, Bellinelli plays in the NBA, you know, and has played big, has taken over a pretty decent size role in Chicago, you know, so he knows, and he's clearly the leader here. Like I was saying with Gentile, the further he goes, the better he gets, you know, just because he's got this confidence and he's a great player. The thing is, they are small, Melly, but Melly has been phenomenal. He's taken sort of this backup center position role and has just excelled in it. And, I mean, Turks with Ashik and Erdan, okay, Erdan, you know, I as listeners know, I think not very highly of, but, you know, they couldn't do anything against him, you know. And this is a guy, you know, probably – you know, half a head size smaller. So I think if they can play at the intensity, if they can get all the way back up to that intensity and already in that first game, I think they'll be fine.
Huh. Well, are you ready to make predictions then on the second round?
tell you what, man, it's a crazy – both groups are crazy. But
that's a heck of a group.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to wonder – you just have to wonder who's – And you almost want to say magic or whose chemistry, let's say. That'll be the theme of this tournament. Whose chemistry is going to be enough? Because I think it's going to come down to Finland or Croatia. Both teams probably playing above expectations. I mean, even I, who had Finland advancing into the next round, didn't have them in second in that group. Just been playing well above their heads based on, you know, as one of the interviewees said, based on the core group sticking together, and yeah, they only may have one more tournament left, but that's a good thing, you know, as far as this tournament is concerned. Whereas, you know, Croatia found a way. Croatia, I like how they're leading on Bogdanovic. Bogdanovic has had a heck of a tournament. I like how they're going to him. I like Tomic has been playing quality ball in this tournament. Not shooting so well underneath, but having a decent tournament, leaning on their core group a little bit more. I like what they've been doing in this tournament. So I think it's going to come down to them. I think Slovenia is still able to ride this crowd to the next round. And I think that Greece has just dug themselves too big a hole.
Yeah, Greece is still 0-2, and they got to make up.
They backed into this. They backed into this round like losing to the other two qualifying teams. I mean, yeah. Ouch! Yeah. Ouch! Yeah. Yeah. That does not bode well, with or without Spanoulis. We shouldn't be so emphatic about this because, of course, you know, they do have Spanoulis and Urpilu and the boys.
Yeah.
From miracle runs.
You want to go right into Stratos?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so I had a chance to talk to Stratos Papariglou, so here's my chat with him.
So, Stratos, you guys are going to Ljubljana, 0-2 in the for the second round. Thoughts about that tough group that you guys just finished?
Yeah, we didn't finish the way we wanted. These two losses really hurt us, and we're, you know, with our backs against the wall now. We have to go there and search the wins to help us qualify, you know, to the next round. We have 3 days now to rest and prepare and see what we did wrong, and hopefully we'll be ready.
How do you feel? How does the team feel? You know, there's certain circumstances. You know, Vasilis wasn't fit. You know, it's a new system. It's deep, you know, everything else. How do you guys feel now? How you did do in that first round?
Well, right now there's, you know, certainly disappointment, but I think we need to come out strong from this situation and try to give our best to give it a try and see what we can do at the end. There's definitely disappointment right now, but tomorrow is a new day and we have to be confident.
What are your thoughts on the tournament in general? Maybe the other, you know, maybe the other teams in this group, and maybe the other teams in this competition. You know, you look at Italy going undefeated so far. You know, France got beat by Germany. You know, there's some other upsets. What are your thoughts about the tournament in general?
There's a lot of good teams. No, also I think any team can beat any team in a given day. And there's not such a big gap between the good teams and the other teams. I think it's a tough tournament for everybody, and I think like the stronger physically and mentally will survive as the tournament goes on.
What do you feel that Greece have to do now to get past that second round?
Like I said, we need to search for the wins. You know, we need to win at least two games. We play against very strong teams, and our job is not easy, but we're going to try to do that, to do our best.
Maybe talk a little bit about Spanoulis. Obviously, you know, playing with him, what it's like playing without him, and you know, coach said at the press conference the day after the game after, said basically had to, you know, do a totally new system. What's it like playing with him and then playing without him?
I mean, you know, he's our best player. He's our leader, and it's hard to play without him. We hope that he's healthy and he stays healthy to help us in the continuation of the tournament. But, you know, it's a player that when he's on the court, he gives confidence to everybody else to play better. So we need him.
Slovenia, Spain for sure, and it looks like either Croatia or Czech. Talk about those teams.
Well, Spain is the favorite for me. I mean, it's the best team in the tournament. Slovenia plays in their home country. I mean, it will be tough to play in front of their crowd. But and Croatia or Czech Republic, they're all good teams. I mean, this round, you know, there's the second round. All the teams are good and competitive. And we have a tough job in front of us, but I think we can get the wins that we need.
Slovenia, obviously, also Mirza's playing their baggage. Looking forward to that at all? So have future teammates you're going to face off against him?
Yeah, looking forward to meet him, and also, but you know, we'll be opponents for 40 minutes, and we'll both we'll try, you know, for the, to help our teams win. And but like I said, I mean, we're only enemies, let's say, on the court, you know.
How does this change so far? Last question: how does this sort of change your guys' goal, or at least the way to get to your goal?
Well, we need to get to the final eight. Doesn't matter if we're first or fourth. I don't know if we can be first, but I'm saying right now the goal for us is to make it to the eight, and then it's only one game. You know, you win and you go to the final four, you lose and you're out. So our goal is to make it. Doesn't matter which position we're gonna take, but we need to qualify.
Yeah, they are in a hole. I brought the picks that we made with us. We both missed on Germany. You got Ukraine right.
I had
Israel. You had Lithuania, Macedonia, finishing 2-3 behind Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
So were you right on that? I mean, obviously we missed on Macedonia.
Yeah, poor Macedonia.
Neither of us had Latvia. I think we both had Latvia finishing sixth. I had Montenegro taking the group. That one
Oops.
Didn't.
Damn! We've been doing this podcast for a year. Most of that year, we've been anticipating Montenegro and the return of this, you know, FYR Macedonia team, and then the dream is over so quickly.
I just wonder what it would have been like if Rochester had played instead of
Oh man. Still, you're still on the Rochester bandwagon, huh?
Listen, dude, you know, loyalty out the window, you know. we both had the C group going as it No, actually, we both said Slovenia second, and I guess Croatia finished second. So,
yes.
And Croatia. I had Greece, Turkey, and Finland, and you had Finland, Turkey, and Greece. So neither of us.
I want to travel back in time and take back that Turkey pick. I tell you.
Well, I had him going all the way to the. I had to
final four.
I had to the semifinals.
Dude.
Like I said, man. Like I said, when we made these picks, you know, we were talking about. It's like, you know, you guys now know who not to pick. So.
That's why I call them fearless predictions. As I would say.
Yeah. What else do we want? Well, address now. So I'll be doing, just so y'all know, I was doing the Group D. So, you know, anything you saw on FIBAEurope.com on that group, that was mine. I've been given the reins of Group E. So that's the that's the France, Lithuania.
Great.
France, Lithuania.
Serbia.
Serbia, Ukraine, Latvia, Belgium group. I saw Ukraine at practice yesterday. These guys are big. These guys are thick.
Yeah, aren't they?
These guys are thick.
Aren't they? That's a lot of big bodies.
And they got Jeter, you know, and it just kind of reminds me a little bit like of Macedonia. You know, where you have a bulldog American point guard. And lots of, you know, lots of, like big bodies and, you know, I guess Gladier can shoot the ball. And so it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see him. I didn't have any time. So, I mean, you know more about Latvia, you know more about Croatia, than I do, because I, being in Koper, I didn't have any time to watch any of their groups. I did see Latvia play against Lithuania once, and I caught four or five halves of basketball from group from some of those Yugoslav the Balkan teams. But I did catch almost all of that Latvian Lithuania game. But otherwise, you know, no France, no Germany, you know, no Ukraine, no Serbia, you know. So, so I'll be covering those groups, and so I'm really looking forward to seeing them. You know, I was watching. I did watch the Latvian Lithuania game, and saw Valančiūnas. The kid's a beast. The kid's huge. I mean, I didn't watch much NBA, but yeah, I just can't wait to see him today. Just to see the physical size of this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's still a super kid, you know, I mean, he's still young. But I mean, you just got to think how much, you know, how many raw eggs did he eat? You know, how many 5 hour gym session, weight room sessions did he put in Toronto?
Well, it's another secret of, why you would want to go to America and, you know, play in the NBA, even if you're only going to be 10th or 11th man. I mean, Teletovic the same way. It's the bodybuilding program, right?
We saw it at U19s with size, the Spanish kid just built this huge, upper body, you know?
Yeah. That's the secret, I think. I mean, they say the book on European players from an American scout's perspective is so often they say, especially for a power forward, he doesn't have the upper body strength. You know, and that's really, for me, that's the difference between American ball training and European, is that in America, you're in the gym, you know, for a few hours a day. In Europe, you're more likely to have two-a-days and practice the fundamentals over and over and over again.
Yep.
You know, that's the big difference. And so, yeah, I'm glad that he was paying attention in the workroom. I didn't see that Jan Vesely had gotten much more powerful. However, he did statistically have a decent tournament. But he doesn't look to have been hitting the gym so often as Valančiūnas does. Wow.
Valančiūnas is also younger and, you know, has a bigger body to put more on it.
So. Oh, sure.
But
sure, Valanciunas, just looking at him in this tournament, wow! I mean, his fans have got to be excited back in the States, because the future for this kid is suddenly looking amazing.
Yeah. All right. So there's one other thing that I want to talk about. But is there anything that you really? Is there anything else you want to? The reason I think we're going to kind of cut this a little bit short, because we have I have to get over to the gym and do some interviews and stuff like that. But we definitely wanted to get a decent size cast out there. Actually, you know, I do want to do one more thing before we go. I think, and this will be just for listeners and/slash readers. I'm going to do a column this week for FIBA on Sweden. We'll get to our last interview. I think this is a they talk a lot about this, that they use Finland as a model. I think this is going to be a hell of a team in latest 17, 2017. We talked to Hawkinson, Ludovic Hawkinson, their 17-year-old point guard. I did a feature on him on the FIBA Europe website, so go check that out as well. But you look at him, you look at Taylor, you look at Yurepka, they have Bryce Masamba is, I think, 23, 24. They have a couple of kids in the States in college. There's a kid at Davidson, Chris something with a Polish name. There's Engstrom, who's this huge beast at Alabama. They had another kid in the Barcelona program, Marcus Ericsson, who I was told probably could have made the team, but they didn't want to. Put him through another tournament. He had played youth. I think he played U20s this year, and didn't want to put another tournament on his bones. And then another guy is Tobias Borg. You know, this is a team that, and I think the talent level of these guys is higher than the talent level of the Finnish guys. So in my eyes, it looks like they're going the Finnish route, but with better talent.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's a bold statement, because this Finnish team has been around the block more than a few times. They are
the thing about Finland that you cannot underestimate. Detman's been there for 9 years.
Yes.
This is not just players staying together. This is players staying together in the same system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you also have to take into account, is that Detman's been there that long, you know. Yes. And Detman's a great coach. Detman won World's bronze with Germany in 2002. It's not just that the players have been together, it's that the entire system has been together. So if they find a coach that they can kind of work with and say, okay, because Brad Dean is done. If they find a coach that now they can, bring all these guys together, they got to keep Taylor in the system, and Hawkinson has to develop. Hawkinson is great. Some of the things that he did, you're like, is that kid 17 and he did that? And he's just learning the point guard position. This is the interview with Hawkinson, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Okay, so Lud Hawkinson, you guys are 0-2 right now, two tough games so far. Where do you see you guys, the team, and how you guys are doing?
We're not playing as a team right now. We don't follow our rules. We don't play as a team.
You're here 17 years old. You're 2 years younger than anybody else here. What's it been like for you being in this environment?
Very cool. I don't know. I don't really think about my age right now, but it's for sure a great experience. And
what's the thing that you are enjoying about this?
Playing against the best players in the world. Yesterday we played against Panulis. I was defending him a lot. It's incredible.
Talking to a couple of the guys on the team, you know, they say that you're really mature beyond your years. Where does it come from? I know your father played and your sister plays as well. Where does that maturity come from?
I don't know. I watch a lot of basketball every day, 5 hours, and I don't know. Barca helped me have practicing every day, 5 hours, and yeah, they helped me every day.
Yeah, talk about that Barcelona. I know you were more of a shooting guard going down there, and they really worked on you and becoming a point guard. How is that sort of process going along? How comfortable you feel at the one?
Right now, very good. Last year was a bit difficult for me. I was used to shoot a lot and try to make for myself, but now I like it. It's the best position.
Is there one guy at Barcelona that's helping you more than anything else?
The whole club, everyone.
What's it like being down there at that team?
Great, perfect. Perfect.
Contract situation, you've been down there for 2 years, are you still with her?
Yeah.
How many more years then?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, that's fine.
Many years left.
One of the things that I noticed today, whenever you're on the bench, you're right next to the coaches. Is that something that you always do? And if so, why is that?
Try to, be in the game when I'm on the bench. Try to see what the coaches want, so when I come in, I can do what he wants us to do.
We talked to Coach Head yesterday in the press conference that, you know, he didn't expect you to make this team. When you were invited, you had done the U18s already, the Division B. What were you thinking going into the camp?
I thought they just wanted to see me, practicing, and maybe good for the future. I didn't have any thought to make the team.
And what did you think when he said, okay, you know what, come on with you, you're going to Slovenia?
I almost started to cry. It was incredible. Yeah. Great feeling.
What did it mean for your dad? Obviously, he's played here twice at this tournament.
He was just very happy and surprised, like me.
Your sister plays as well. How good is she? I know the youth development in Swedish women's basketball is a little farther along than the men. How good is she? And maybe what do you think of her as a player? No, she's U16s.
She's very good. She's like me, had a very good knowledge of the game, and very good.
I know we're still at this tournament, but maybe goals for the near future, let's say next 1 or 2 years?
To keep developing Barcelona and maybe be in the European Champions in 2015.
Yeah, all right, I'll let you go.
Well, yes, a disappointing result. And when will Hackinson report to Spain?
He's already back in on his way. I assume they give him a couple days off.
Who can blame him?
Yeah, but he's due to come back. He's due to come back to Slovenia. He's on the roster for the U18 All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's unclear whether or not he'll come back, just because he's kind of banged up a little bit, and whether or not although it would seem that Barcelona wouldn't really. I mean, if Hackinson says I want to play, and as long as they, you know, the Barcelona doctors, you know, give him a full clean bill of health, that they'll say go for it. But he is due to come back for the, I think that's the semifinal, between the semifinals or before the first semifinal or something like that. I can't remember exactly when that U18 All-Star game, but he is due to come back.
They want him to play in that game for exposure purposes, because this guy has loader written all over him.
And also to play against and with those top guys, you know. So,
although it is just it's just an All-Star game,
but still, if this guy is, not that necessarily that he needs it, but if this guy's, you know, showing that he can hold his own against the absolute elite at 18s, you know, I mean, he just showed that he you know, can hold his own against the, you know, against Turkey and Greece and Italy. But, you know, it just another feather in his cap, you know, saying, all right, I am, you know, pretty good. Okay, so before I do my last one, do you got anything else? I mean, we really haven't talked too much just because we...
I just want to get this in there. Tony Parker for MVP of the tournament.
Yeah, I had him as MVP.
So. I think France could well still lose to Spain in the final. I think France is still primed to be in that final. I mean, ever since that little hiccup in game one, which was really a mess, I must say, losing to Germany like that. Since then, it's been back to the machine. They even handled those big-bodied Ukrainians in the only close game they've really played since that game one. So, I'm still looking for them. And it could be a situation where France will lose in the final to Spain, but they'll still give the MVP to Parker.
I think if Spain win, they, you know, Gazal probably could win it too.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Spain. I haven't seen France. So I mean, I can't really, but I imagine that there's enough top level guys in Spain that one of them could get him. Especially Gazal with all the bigs that they don't have.
I bore witness to the demolishment of Croatia as well as the demolishment of Poland. they're looking pretty sharp. I mean, Mark is doing what he wants at will. And Ricky has contributed a few highlights. So all systems go for Spain as well going into this next round.
So did you see Poland then other than that one game, or did you just see the one game?
No, I didn't. I watched bits of, wow, dozens of these games, it feels like, but I made sure to watch at least one game in full every day. I managed to catch Spain destroying the opposition twice.
It was just, I mean, with Poland, one of the things that I was saying was like the point guard play is so important, and they just don't have any, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, in that one interview, who was it? Somebody was talking about, it was Hackinson, in fact. Hackinson was talking about how, you know, Spanoulis was so key in that Greece-Sweden game. He spoke with admiration of the man. And yeah, you need this playmaker in this tournament. But Poland did not produce. However, you still got Ukraine hanging around there.
Yeah, well, with Poo.
Yeah. It was stepped up in this tournament. In any case, I'm still looking at Spain, France in the final.
Yeah, I don't see too much. I mean, okay, you'll have the quarterfinals and the semis. You know, you have two, you know, one game, so anything can happen.
The real race.
Anything can happen and all that stuff. So
the real race is for third place, right? That's the borderline between qualifying for the next phase, right?
Top four.
Okay, yeah. So
then we go to the quarterfinals.
That 3-6 will be tight.
Yeah. All right, my last point on Eurobasket, and it's kind of geopolitical as well. And Greece could, you know, be in this mess as well. I tell you what, FIBA is looking at a big time, hardcore, tough decision on who they're going to give these four wild cards to for the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, we started with China.
Yeah, China's won. China
is in. Okay, yeah. but they were the first tournament. So we started with China.
Yeah.
And then we had the knuckle cases of Tunisia and Nigeria. I said Nigeria may have a chance. They ain't got a snowball's chance in hell anymore. neither of them do. Brazil come along and mess up. They didn't qualify from FIBA Americas. On top of that, Canada didn't qualify. From Eurobasket, we have already Turkey and Russia. And it's quite likely. And Germany.
Okay.
On top of that, Greece does not look like they're going to maybe make it out of the next round. Uh-huh. So they're there. So what is that? So it's let's cut the two Africans out. So you have China.
So you're only gonna have one African and African team in that field of 12.
No, I think they have three. I think you had the top three.
Okay.
Yeah, you had the top three.
Right. Right.
You had winners were Angola, Egypt, and Senegal, I think. Okay, so with the wild card in Africa, it's not going to happen. So you have China, you have Brazil, you have Canada, you have, as of right now, you have Russia, Turkey, and Germany. That's six. That's six.
Well, forget Russia and Turkey. I think that.
Well, hey, look, Russia say look, Russia can say, we are Russia. We have a new generation.
Yes,
Kuligin and Karasev, they showed at moments that they are part of a good generation, and we're Russia. Turkey, it has to be said.
Now, see, this is a good point because I think this is the wave of the future. I think when FIBA is deciding Olympic, you know, bids or whatever in the future, other tournament bids in the future, I think that there's going to be this element of speculation. I mean, here you've got Russia.
Let me finish. So Turkey, sure, they haven't done anything outside of Turkey, right? But there's still an absolute huge market, huge economic power in basketball. Hosted the World Cup, the World Championship in 2010.
And they sponsor that one big league in Europe too, right?
Yeah, they sponsor that league, and they sponsor, you know, where does Beko, you know, what do they have, five leagues?
Oh, Beko, yeah, jeez.
There's Germany, who everybody's going gaga over, but haven't produced the results.
Yeah, but see, this is what I was going to say is that,
and then you have Greece, okay?
You've got these programs that are about upside. You know, and do you go with that? Do you go with the future, the programs coming up, or do you go with the ones that have the traditions in the past, like Greece and Turkey?
It's also about television marketing.
Well, yeah, of course.
It is. No, it is. No. Not. Oh, of course. It is. That's.
But it's the Olympics, bro.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I mean.
No, it's not. It's the World Cup.
Okay.
World Cup. And okay, so let me finish. So, and then you have Canada. We'll go to Canada first, all right? So you have Canada, who say, look, you know, okay, we messed up. We got all this talent that's on the rise. We have the number one pick.
Right.
You know, and then you got Brazil. And Brazil are going to host the 2016 Olympics.
Okay, so maybe I should just update my predictions and I'll go with.
And then you have China.
Yeah, well, China's in. I'm not even questioning that.
No, China
gets one of the bits.
One of the things that China is being bashed a little bit is that they're not developing the game. Wow. So that's one of the issues with China. So
but you can't run a reformatted inaugural tournament without China. I'm sorry, you just.
What happens if Serbia don't make it? So what we're saying, the World Cup spots, there's six World Cup spots plus Spain. So in the Spain finish in the top six, seventh place gets a spot in the World Cup as well. So eighth place, you're out. Seventh place, you're in, unless Spain were to finish seventh. So that's basically, you know, so you make the quarterfinals, you have you win one more game and you're in the World Cup, given that Spain are in the quarterfinals. This is going to be an absolutely humongous decision, and I just don't know.
China, Canada, Brazil.
Canada's not going to do it. Nobody in America's care about the World Cup. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. That's why the reformat. That's why NBA is more behind it. Is they want to. Get this market. They want to get that NBA market.
I think they'd probably go to Germany before Canada.
Wow. See, I would not be surprised to see Canada in there again. You know, number one pick. You know.
Yeah, but
that alone.
Who says he's going to play?
Well, okay.
Who says he's going to play? Who says he's going to play?
Yeah. This is backroom deals at that point, I think.
Right now, let's you know, say... you know, let's say... Hey, what happens if Lithuania doesn't make it?
Yeah, that's a tough call.
You know? So I think let's wait for the picks. I'm going to wait for my picks, at least. My four wild cards... until the end of this tournament, just so that we can actually know who's there. But I wanted to bring it up because, you know, this is not just this doesn't just have implications on the Eurobasket and who's winning and stuff. You know, there's bigger implications. You know, there's directions that FIBA are going to go, want to go, you know, and do they want to teach Turkey a lesson? Can they afford to teach Turkey a lesson? You know, Turkey brought the last two games, they brought Dugas Balbay to the press conference, and he didn't play a single second in those games, as an example. And that's fine. That's a fine for them, you know. You know, there's things out there that, you know, is there a direction that FIBA is going to, you know, show? You know, maybe they screw everybody and say, yeah, here you go, Nigeria, you know?
Well, this is the thing, is that, like, okay, so you
know,
now
do they give something to Russia or not? You know,
yeah, exactly.
There's kids there and say, okay, well, you know, obviously, you know, maybe Kirilenko will come back, you know, maybe Hirapa comes back with a full summer off. You know, if they say we're all going to come back, maybe they say that, you know, there's just so much out there. So,
well, then just be pragmatic, right? You take three of the BRICS, you take Brazil, Russia, and China, and then you flip a coin between Canada and Turkey, right? Just go straight market size.
I would be shocked. I would be shocked if they take Canada.
I would not be. Again, this is an upside program, and it's not only upside. Okay, the truth is there's only one North American program in there, right?
In where?
In the World Cup.
I mean,
Mexico's not in.
Mexico's in.
Oh, Mexico is in. Okay.
Yeah, Mexico's in.
Won't be Canada. So then purely pragmatically speaking, it's Brazil, Russia, China, Turkey. So yeah, these are the economies that are taking over the world. So
what happens if Greece and Lithuania don't?
Well, somebody has to be left out, Dave.
Listen, let's table this conversation after we know the teams. I just wanted to throw it out there. You know, it's a great story that Finland make it, right? It's a great story that Latvia make it. There's, you know, it's a great story. If Latvia make the quarterfinals, you know, does it mean Latvia is in the quarterfinals and that Lithuania is not? Is that a great story for the World Cup? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Okay, I was in the group of great stories. You know, you had Italy and you had Finland. You know, but on the other hand, if you're looking at, you have Turkey and Russia go home, and Greece has dug themselves a hole that is, is looking, you know, like the Grand Canyon. You know,
So.
In that regard, you know, there's one way to think about it, and then there's this other way. And I just kind of wanted to bring it up because it's something that is being discussed in the back rooms here, and I just wanted to throw it out there. So, that was the thing that I wanted to do. Do you got anything else?
Nope.
All right, then let's listen to some
some quote unquote music.
Listen to some music, and we'll come back.
Yes, I feel basketball. Yes, I feel basketball.
Listen to the good vibrations. Do you hear the crazy game? Do you smell the scent of glory? Do you feel the hug of fame? Come and feel Slovenian fire. Feel the passion of our song. We enjoy the same desire. Don't think twice, just sing along. I feel power in my soul. My heart beats for basketball. Hear the proud Slovenian call. Feel the heartbeat of our soul. I feel power in my soul. My heart beats for basketball. Hear the proud Slovenian call. Feel the heartbeat of our soul. United in our passion, we're united in the pride, we're united in one color. Join us on the winning side. I feel power in my soul. My heart beats for basketball. Hear the proud Slovenian call. Feel the heartbeat of our soul. I feel power. My heart beats for basketball. Hear the proud Slovenian call. Feel the heartbeat of our soul.
Hello, I'm Zach Wright from Bamberg's Bros Basket and the Bosnia national team, and we're here on Taking the Charge podcast.
Welcome back to the Taking the Charge podcast. You just heard, if you could stand the whole thing, I Feel Basketball, the official Eurobasket anthem. Also, a show to those at the tournament who have heard this a few thousand times already. At the end of the program, you'll be hearing the somewhat more listenable FIBA official theme song. These tracks are not on freemusicarchive.org, but you can see them on YouTube. And now, back to the podcast.
Thank you, Wolfman Oz.
I'm still reeling, Dave. I'm still reeling.
Listen to the good vibrations. Do you hear the crazy game?
The crazy game.
Do
the
you
crazy game. No, let me tell you, we've been doing...
Do you smell the scent of glory? Do you feel the hug of fame?
No. Basketball is not the crazy game. Go on. There are many, many...
Dude,
other
man, hey, I've totally been feeling the Slovenian fire, though. The crazy game. No, it's not. No, it's not quite the crazy game. I don't think there was many people who decried that.
What I'd like to see is, you know, what I'd like to see is you see these games and
so who would you cutting out. Who would you want to see do it?
Oh, I want to see a Eurobasket crowd get up and do this song when it's playing. Sure, why not? That would be great. It would certainly improve quite a bit, this number.
I feel power in my soul. My heart beats for basketball.
No, Dave, no. It's I feel devotion.
Passion. Oh, wait, sorry, that comes later.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
You can see all the lyrics to this song. If you look up this song on YouTube, you can see all the lyrics, and it is a hoot. Yeah. It is quite, yes, it is quite humorous.
I just my
heart beats for basketball.
When you know, I drove yesterday. I drove from Copert to Ljubljana, and Copert's directly on the Mediterranean Sea. Beautiful, and you know, all my colleagues were jealous of me being down there and them having to be in various places. A beautiful country. This is absolutely beautiful country, landscape wise. And I was driving in to Ljubljana. And I put my windows down, and I kind of got a sense that I was smelling something, and it kind of smelled like glory.
Really? It wasn't just the burning Slovenian fires, Dave.
Maybe it was. Maybe the Slovenian fire is glory.
All right. We should have invited everybody before we played that to don't think twice, just sing along.
Silly us.
Oh, this is amazing. It's amazing how much humor can be divined from just 17 lines of lyrics.
Okay. And they're great. And they're great ones, that's for sure.
This is poetry.
Yes. Poetry.
Of a sort.
Poetry at the best. Okay. Let's cruise into our movie of the week.
No, we're going to do the movie. You had time to watch this.
I watched it.
All right.
Of course I watched it, man. That's my job. Wow. Okay. So we went back to 1987. Do we know who won the Eurobasket in 1987?
Oh, that's a very good question. I should have prepared for this.
I got it. 1987, I want to say Greece, but yeah, there you go. In Athens. So as Athens, probably as Greece were winning the Eurobasket, I'm sure a Greek player or two had seen this movie.
I don't know if film distribution was as quick in those days as it is nowadays, when you get the big releases within 1 week maximum of this.
All right, so the movie from 1987 is the science fiction film The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So go ahead and take it away.
Yes, The Running Man, a 1997 Arnold Schwarzenegger film. Let's just call it that, because it was a genre unto itself in the late 80s, let me tell you. Is a film. It's one of the few films that I know of that's set directly within the milieu of an actual science fiction sport. Now, watching this again about halfway through, I wasn't even sure if you could call this sport. Because basically what the movie is more or less about, until Arnold takes over, is about this futuristic society, not exactly post-apocalyptic, but definitely fascistic, and it appears to be America. The Running Man is the most popular game show in this TV-obsessed society, and it's kind of a combination of game show and reality show with a little bit of that classic syndicated 1980s television show Solid Gold. I think they got the dancers in this movie, the sort of proto-cheerleaders directly from that classic, not so classic TV show. In any case, we follow the action of, oh my God, what is our hero's name? It's so great. Ben Richards. Yes, Ben Richards.
Ben Richards.
Who essentially is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And in the futuristic California of the future, Ben Richards is some sort of military guy, police guy, who is framed for killing a bunch of rioters. Eventually, he ends up on the show The Running Man, which is hosted by the much more excellently named David Killian, brilliantly played by Richard Dawson. I mean, why this guy did not get some sort of accolade from the Academy is beyond me, except for the fact that he's purely TV. I believe he's never had such a large role in a movie before, playing anything other than himself. Just steals the show as the smarmy game show host / I don't know what you would call the liaison to the National Security Department Entertainment Division, which I really loved. Through the movie, we get your typical 1980s violence as Arnold must defeat these stalkers who are sort of equal to, let's say, professional wrestlers, except deadly. As the characters chosen on the show, in this case Arnold, progress through this sort of escape from L.A. Environment that was left after the great earthquake of, what was it, 1997?
You're cutting out.
It's set in this sort of escape from Los Angeles wasteland, which was formed after the great earthquake of 1997 in San Francisco, so we are told. And as the player progresses through these things, the stalker tries to kill them in various ways. So I think in this movie we get a chainsaw guy, we get an ice-themed guy, we get a fire guy, and in fact, one of the great things is to play spot the cameo of the stalkers. We've got two then professional wrestlers in this movie, and Toru Tanaka and, of course, the immortal Jesse Ventura, who later starred with Arnold in Predator, the excellent science fiction film Predator. And we've also got ex-NFL football player Jim Brown, who has, I think, four lines in the movie and just generally is there to add some, you know, badass quotient.
This is our second Jim Brown movie, right?
Yes. He was in He Got Game.
Yeah, that's right.
Playing the badass detective charged with wire hero Denzel Washington, who is probably bigger now than even Arnold was back in the 80s. In any case, bringing it full circle there. I've seen this film a few times before. I hadn't seen it in a few years. And on this watching, I enjoyed it just as much as I ever had. I think that this is a classic science fiction sort of milieu, sort of the high-tech 1984, sort of the Blade Runner feeling to it. And it's done with that fun and that irony of late 80s, early 90s movies, which we just don't get any, and which, as a guy who was a reviewer in the 90s, really misses. It's really funny to see a movie with, you know, guys getting bits cut off with chainsaws and bullets flying and stuff like this, who later became governors of major states in the United States of America. So I think this film works on a lot of levels, both meta and direct in the science fiction genre. And I'm glad I turned Dave onto it if you hadn't seen it before.
I had seen it before. It was probably even before I knew that Greece was playing at Eurobasket, before they even knew that Eurobasket existed, actually.
Right, right. You're still back in the States.
Sure. Just by the way, I guess we're only 4 years from when this takes place. So
the world's
got to go to shit pretty quick to get this far.
No. Actually, well, the civilization collapses in 2017. Okay, and in fact, on Wikipedia, it's very funny because it says the global economy has collapsed. Okay, guys. All right, are you afraid yet?
Okay. You're right.
Bit occurs in 2019.
19, okay, yeah. So we're not far off, necessarily. You know, global economy, Police, totalitarian police state in America? Whoa!
And reality TV.
Reality TV, yeah. You know.
We were talking about dating a week or two ago on this show in reference to the Keanu Reeves movie. And the thing about this is, yes, elements of this movie are dated. When the game show host goes into the crowd, and it looks more like, you know, one of those daytime talk shows of the 1990s, the TV sets and the computers look old. They look like 80s stuff. But I think that the show itself could easily be imagined in the reality TV obsessed culture.
Yeah.
Easily. I think that translates directly. And I think if you're just willing to jump a couple of points here. I think this film could have been made 2 years ago. In that respect, thematically speaking, and even in sort of in terms of the action, of course, it would have to be much more serious now.
First of all, it was I remember even watching it back then, and again, it was watching it this week. Richard Dawson was great to see him because I was a passionate Family Feud fan.
Oh God!
I'm not going to say necessarily fan, but we watched it all the time. We always used to watch Family Feud. But this was like Family Feud. You know, he was kissing the ladies as he always did. You only have a couple seconds to decide. You know, and Family Feud, for those who don't know Family Feud, is like an American family. You know. Sort of quiz show, I guess, if you will, back in the 70s, mid 80s, and you had to guess the top whatever answer, six or seven answers in surveys and stuff. So seeing this was so awesome, and I remember seeing it back then, the Running Man, and seeing it again today, and I was both then and now trying to figure out what the Running Man board game would be like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's one of the good ones, and that's one of the good, WTF moments of this film. And the other moment is there are certain points where the crowd is standing up and cheering, and you have no idea what they're cheering for. That was the other thing I didn't get in this film. Well, one of my favorite bits is in the pregame, they have the girls come out and do the sexy dances. And at one point, they cut away to this bar, and you see people cheering raucously for these girls doing, this solid gold kind of stuff, this total 80s dance with the 80s hair. And I was just thinking, what are they cheering for?
We had this, I don't remember what movie it was, but... I'm sure you enjoyed this with all of mainly Arnie's, but I guess Maria Conchita Alonso had a couple here and there as well, but mainly Arnie with all of his one-liners.
Oh, the throwaway line.
Yeah.
The throwaway. I remember watching the review of this time by the immortal Siskel and Ebert, and they both sort of complained about, they're getting tired of seeing these guys like, Chuck Norris and Stallone and Arnold, like with the throwaway lines. But I missed that.
Yeah, I know. You've said that before, and that's why I'm sure that you enjoyed seeing those again.
You see these films that Arnold did before he retired into governorship, and they're just these brutal, humorless things. I'm talking everything from True Lies on down. True Lies, they tried to inject humor with Tom Arnold, but it just ends up being this really just unfunny, just why am I watching this film unless I'm getting off on violence? Yeah. And I think that's kind of the thing. I don't have the statistics on this, but I'm sure incidents of violence in movies have not decreased at all since this time. It's just now they're even more graphic. And we focus on them longer, and everything's so deadly serious. I mean, it would almost be better if you're going to keep all that stuff to make it this comic book sort of violence. I mean, yeah, okay, guns kill people, it's true, but guns within the sphere of the Running Game, which is this futuristic game show, happens to very few people.
Yeah,
and I think that kids who we're supposed to be protecting know the difference between comic book sort of violence and really ugly stuff like in the much overrated movie Seven, for example. I mean, which was completely deadly serious and unlikable, and yet is raved about. But that's another.
I kind of like Seven, but I guess that's another. I enjoyed this a lot. I enjoyed it last when I saw it, however many years ago or however many decades ago.
26.
I enjoyed it watching it again, and as far as like who would like this film, I think there's a lot of different people who would like the film. Obviously, Arnie fans would like it. Futuristic science film, science fiction fans, yeah. would like it. I you know, sports fans,
any sure.
What's that?
Any action film fan.
Action films. You know, like, there's a lot of different
people.
It's
kind of a guy movie.
It is a guy movie. But I think it's really well done. And I think that it'll be interesting to watch this in another 25 years. And to see how close we are to society then and now. And so people like critical on society and the people and how far, you know, how crap this this world is right now. You know, those kind of people would maybe be interested in seeing this as well, to kind of see, so this is, you know, we're at 2013 now. How far off are we now and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe you can say this as the film professor. Are there any like studies on how accurate the depiction of the future in films has been?
Well, I can pimp one of my favorite websites, which is io9.com, for the science fiction fans out there. And they actually do this every couple of years. They run down and make a checklist of you know, which visions of the future have not come to pass and which have. And, you know, to varying degrees. I mean, you can argue the point. I think that our world, you know, the American world or whatever, looks a lot closer to the Running Man than not. I mean, yeah, you go to major cities, you go to Tokyos and stuff like that, and they have the big screens on the streets, you know. You go to the airport, and yeah, in these major cities, and yeah, there's a woman on the screen telling you where to go. And stuff like this. Yeah. I mean, you know, and plus, again, there's that whole reality TV milieu, which this movie, and apparently the original novel written by Stephen King under the name Richard Bachman, that supersedes the reality TV of today. But, I mean, that's one of those cases where science fiction picks the future. You know? That's where King and the makers of these movies saw the future. And it is reality TV. And potentially, it could become really violent, reality TV. It's interesting, for example, that in one of the other science fiction sports movies specifically that we've done, which is Rollerball, they're kind of seeing the same thing. You know, it's not presented as reality TV in that movie. It's presented as sport. But yet, here you go. I mean, it's an inside look at a very, very, very violent activity. You know, and of course, all of these, I think, harken back to the blood sport of the Roman Empire and that sort of, you know, decadence of the empire kind of feeling. But I think this movie was pretty prescient on a lot of the trappings.
The Running Man, 1987, with Arnold Schwarzenegger,
and Jesse Ventura,
and
Richard Dawson.
Yeah, and loads of other people. So yeah, go check it out. Yeah, I guess that's the show. It's a wrap.
More Eurobasket tomorrow.
Yeah. No, today.
Is it today?
Of course.
Oh yes. Yes. It is. The 11th. All right.
Yeah. September 11th, huh?
Wow, you got time to get this up?
Yeah, of course. You think I would
shirk your duties?
Well, do you think I would not give this to our fans?
No.
Of course not. Wednesday's Wednesday, man. Wednesday's podcast day. So, Oz, what you got going on this week?
Not too much. The reins at Bollinger have been handed over to the very capable Abbott Ryan, whose specialty in the past wasn't Gaelic football, but I know that he's quite the just sports fan in general.
So has it been handed over then?
Oh, yes. He's bravely posted his first power rankings for the Eurobasket tournament going into the second round, as well as published an introductory piece and the like. I've been thinking I might just step back from the writing gig for a week or two in basketball and just watch a lot of games. I mean, like I said, this past week has been a blur of sports. And
kind of like what? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I kind of like that to continue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd be interested in to see what happens with the ball in Europe. We'll have to check on that. And to be honest, we haven't talked about it at all as far as what the future of the podcast looks like. Just a 50 second.
So we're going to tell the readers that, yeah, you know, you're supposed to do the year end observation or whatever, but Dave is busier than they're in Slovenia right now. So in a couple, 3 weeks, I think that we'll probably, discuss the future of Ball Europe, maybe have Evan on the show and, just move forward. But right now we're focused on the present, right, Dave?
Exactly.
We take these games one day at a time.
Yes, yes, yes. One day at a time. You know, we don't have any big ambitions. We just want to think about this team and we don't want to worry about the next one yet.
Yeah, we're facing an excellent opponent today.
We have to respect them. We have to respect this day and we don't want to look too far in advance.
Hey, you've been doing press conferences, Dave. I can tell.
Oh, joy. Yeah. Obviously, I'm at Eurobasket, so I'll be here all week. So we'll have some more interviews next week. We will talk more about Eurobasket next week. I kind of would imagine that we'll probably do a little bit of other stuff as well. We'll see what's going on in the rest of the basketball world, but not just Eurobasket. We'll have to see how that goes. We'll have a movie as always. And so I guess that's it for the show. Oz, thanks for doing this. And good luck, and we'll talk then probably in about an hour. We'll catch you guys next week. Destination.
The chat.